Okay, who said in the garden? You did.
Get it.
Get it.
Which number is it?
I don't know.
I'm 476. All right, cool. 476. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
What did you just see me do? You saw me play the guitar. Ken said I called an audible. Let me give another word to it. What I did could be called repenting. I had a course of action I was going down, and I changed that course because something came in, right? Now, I have a challenge for you. You all got pens, and anyone who didn't get a pen should get a pen. You should have a pen. Clip your bulletin. Get your bulletin. Get the sermon notes. Got the sermon notes? Drew didn't get a pen because Drew didn't get it. Okay, go get yourself the sermon notes. And on the back of the sermon notes, you will see it divided into two segments. And on the left, it says, list some items that are still on your Christmas to-do list. This can include, certainly, purchase of gifts, but maybe you've got a program that you have to go to because your children or grandchildren are in it. You want to go to that program. Maybe you have to purchase some food for guests. Just write some things. I'm just throwing out some ideas. Keep writing. You can ignore me, or if you already know what's on your to-do list before Christmas. The season of Advent is all about preparing. So take a minute. I'm going to have a minute of silence that I'm going to bleep out of the podcast. So if you're listening on the podcast, you hit the pause button. But for 1 minute, we're going to be silent. I want you, yes, you too, write down your to-do list before Christmas. Go. Okay, maybe you're a minute. Now, you can turn back to the sermon notes. You know, if we're in the Advent season, and sometimes when we get into some of these special seasons like Advent and Lent and that sort of thing, I kind of revert back to the lectionary and away from the Sunday school material. And if we were following the lectionary directly, you would see that the second and third Sundays of Advent focus on John the Baptist. And if John the Baptist's message could be given in one word, what would that one word be? Repent. Oh, great. Here we are in one of the most joyous seasons of the year, and they want to talk about repenting. You know, is that a buzzkill or what? And what we often see, we see repentance as such a horrible, get down, feel miserable about yourself thing. But just a moment ago, I repented, didn't I? I changed the course of action. Let's take a look at the message from the Word of God. Mark chapter 1, beginning with the first 8 verses. The beginning of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Hey, didn't we just read that in Matthew chapter 16? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make his path straight." John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were flocking to him. And they were baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. John wore a camel hair garment with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. There's your Christmas dinner. Yeah, my opinion exactly. And John was preaching, "Someone more powerful than I will come after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the strap of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, speak to us about the message that you sent John to give and how that's supposed to work in our lives as we prepare our hearts for the coming of the Christ, the Messiah, the King. In Jesus' name, amen. So John comes baptizing, and he's preaching this baptism of repentance. Something needs to be understood about baptism. We Christians didn't come up with it. And in fact, John didn't come up with it. It was done by Jews for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And if you converted from paganism to Judaism, there was a baptism involved. And something I want to let you know about Jewish baptism. There were sages who taught that in baptism, the person baptized rises out of the water as a child of one day. How's that for new birth talk? A child of one day. That they're one day old. Well, isn't that how we view things in Christ? As a new birth? As a new start? As a whole new beginning? Well, they believe that. They said that you've got a new life. Now, here's John. He's baptizing who? He's baptizing Jews. He's saying you need to start again. How close is this to the new birth? Pretty much the same thing, right? He's saying, but even though you're a Jew, you haven't got it. You haven't got it together. God could raise up children of Abraham from the rocks. You're nothing. Your lineage means nothing. You need to have a heart that's right. And so that's what he was preaching. Change your mind. Change how you think. Change how you operate. It is an end to business as usual. It is an end to the agenda that you have set up for yourself. What was my agenda? When I came up here, my agenda would have been to just go right into the sermon. But I heard someone say, "I want to do this song too." And the word of the Lord said, repent. Repent and do the other thing. New, something new, a new opportunity came in. Something came in and changed my agenda. John was announcing something new. Now, there is something that we do at this church. And this is where there's going to be a touch of admonition. I play music before the start of the service, right? You hear me play music and you see slides showing up. And then you hear this.
Welcome home.
Right? Now, what does that mean? It's time to find your seat and to worship. In other words, if you're having a conversation with someone and that starts, what must you do? Say, hey, son, it's what? Repent! Change your agenda. Your agenda was to continue the conversation, but no, the worship time is starting. I need to repent and go to my seat. Now, there again, it's kind of, oh boy, he's getting down on us. No. Let me give another example of repentance. Now, some months ago, back in August, my family kind of hosted a semi-surprise birthday party for me. Now, if I had asked, and Jenny was there, and if I had asked Jenny, what do you plan to be doing in January? She would have given me a funny look at that time and said, same thing I do all the time in January. I'm going to be watching the kids. I'm going to be, this was back in August when you guys came to the house. But then there was a cookout at Tim's house sometime after that where Tim proposed to Jenny. They set a wedding date in January. What did she do? She repented of the previous agenda for something wonderful. Do we see repentance as a beautiful thing? That a change in our agenda, why? Because something brand new and exciting breaks into our lives, informs us that the world has changed and we need to go in a different direction. It can be tough, it can be beautiful. John said to the people, essentially, in certain words, your life as you know it has changed. Everything is different now because this one has come. So you need to make a change. The Advent season is all about something new breaking into our lives. And so he brought the message of repent, which can be one of the most beautiful messages, because what does repentance and turning to Christ mean? It means eternal life. It means walking with God. It means having God as your partner, God as your Savior, God as your friend, God as your Father. That's a good thing. Isn't that repentance is a beautiful thing? And so this is not a get down on you message. It's a, hey, God has something brand new for you. Absorb it. Embrace it. Get yourself washed in it. But in order to do that, we need to change our focus. Now, I want to help you to do that. Now, get back to your notes, where you put down, get that down. And then on the other side, and this is where the podcast people are going to have to hit the pause button again, I want you to write down, what would the ideal Christmas this year look like? If you were going to, on December 26th, say, man, that is the greatest Christmas we ever knew, what are a few things that would be a part of it? Now, I'm not looking for a dime novel. You know, Uncle Bob showed up at 4:30, and then Aunt Nancy showed up at 4:45. No. I was with family or something like that. What would the ideal Christmas look like? I'm going to give you, that shouldn't take too long. I'm going to give you about 30 seconds on that one. Write down, what does the ideal Christmas look like? Okay, hopefully you've got most of that down. Or at least you've got it fixed in your mind. John was preaching, someone more powerful than I will come after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the strap of his sandals. This was John's good news. Someone is coming. what is, you know, we recited what I call the gospel creed, where Paul defines the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Now, we've recited that. So what is the focus of the gospel? Mark chapter 1, verse 1, the gospel is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. The gospel is all about Jesus. It's not about something we do. It's not about some. It is about someone God has sent. It's not something we do. It's someone God has sent. The gospel is Jesus. Good news about Jesus. And so, what is Advent really all about? If the gospel is about Jesus, what's Advent about? Jesus! Oh, hey! A PhD in the audience. So what's Christmas about? Jesus. This gets easy, doesn't it? You don't need preachers like me. You got it. Now, is your ideal Christmas Jesus? Is your ideal Christmas Jesus? John is saying refocus. Now, as you examine it, this isn't a time for guilt. Maybe I shouldn't buy those gifts because that's not about Jesus. No, no. Being with family and loving them, that's about Jesus. It's not a problem. Don't feel guilty about these types of things. That's not the point. The point is to make Christmas truly ideal with Christ as your center focus. And Christ as someone that you can communicate to those you love. And you know what? You can communicate that around a tree or around a nativity scene. Either way. You can do it. You can tell them what a Christmas tree really is, how Martin Luther saw the starlight through an evergreen tree and thought of the stars in the sky when Jesus came. He put that bright one on the top because of the star that was there, or maybe an angel on the top because there were angels. You can give that testimony. So we begin with repentance, but repentance requires a refocus to narrow our vision to what's really important. And then we're to rejoice. John says, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now tell me what gives you greater rejoicing than the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. Than the baptism that the Holy Spirit gives you when he unites you with Christ. Now, I want you to apply what you know. I want you to take a look at your ideal Christmas, and I want you to take a look at your to-do list, and I want you to mark your to-do list everything that contributes to your ideal Christmas. If it contributes to your ideal Christmas, mark it, and mark that as a priority. This is something I really must do because it contributes to my ideal Christmas. Or maybe in the process you can think, you know what? This will take away from my ideal Christmas. I really don't want to do that. Or if this Christmas is going to be ideal, I'm not doing enough of the right thing to make it ideal. I can do that. I can add something. So that's what I want you to do. I want to encourage you to do. And remember, coming to church is all about meeting with God and having our lives changed by it. Isn't that right? Abraham met with God, and what did God do? God changed his name. Simon met with Jesus. What did Jesus do? Changed his name. What does God want to do with us? Bring change. Well, I love that beautiful song, I Will Change Your Name. You shall no longer be called wounded, outcast, lonely, or afraid. Your new name shall be confidence, joyfulness, overcoming one, faithfulness, friend of God. One who seeks my face. Can you change the name of your ideal Christmas to make it truly ideal? That's what Advent is, preparing for the ideal welcoming of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We don't want to talk about the death of Jesus right now, do we? But we remember that he was a baby who came to die, who came to rise again to give us new life and to give us something that's worth celebrating. You will hear people say that pagans celebrated, oh, the turn of the season, where the days were going to start getting longer again. Okay, you can celebrate that if you want. You can celebrate celebrate the calendar. I celebrate a new life. I celebrate the one who came and changed everything. He didn't just restart the old thing. He changed everything.